As I said, the Wallabies had a nice big win over South Africa on Saturday night, 30 points to 17. Christy Doran joins us from Fox Sports, and this is the kind of win. Morning to you, Christy. It's the kind of win that we've been talking about. Let's get momentum. Let's see if we can get back to back, and let's enjoy the rugby that they're playing. And we kind of got all those answers.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? And this result and these two results back to back, the first back-to-back victory since the 2019 World Cup. The Wallabies this weekend against Argentina will be going for three straight since 2017, the first time since 2017. So that tells you a little bit about the difficulties that the Wallabies have had, but also the struggles that they've had with consistency. And that's the thing that hurts, frustrates fans more than anything, because your side dishes up a really good performance and then the next week really falls back and the canvas stumbles over and the Wallabies are the Wobblies. But unfortunately, two very impressive performances, which haven't surprised me all that much. Perhaps the polish that they showed on the weekend, it was the most conviction, I would say, that a Wallabies side has played with probably since 2015, really. That was a complete performance that they showed. And it doesn't surprise me because we know that the Wallabies, is generally speaking, performed quite well against the Springboks. It's really just the All Blacks that the Wallabies lose the conviction, lose the maturity, lose what it takes to win international rugby matches. And that scarring has continued for nigh on two decades now.
Do you think, Christy, that it's also a case, and you've been pointing this out, of building along the way, and when you're tinkering with game plans and you're tinkering with lineups and your new coaches, all that's settling in, we've got young players, there's got to be a point where there's a breakthrough, where you smash through a bit of a wall. And with that will come confidence and, like you say, conviction, because there appeared to be a lot of let's back ourselves on Saturday night. And that's kind of the point where the Wallabies come unstuck. But on Saturday, for some reason, and I'm thinking Taniela Tupou, right? Think of that pass that he pulled off. He didn't need to do the no-looker flashy pass. It's the kind of thing that you do in training, but you'd get the sense that the coach would come up and say, do that in the game and I'll yank you off. But it appears as though Dave Rennie in some way has said, let's just break free here and have a crack.
Yeah, there's a couple of things to dissect there. The first being, I think the tinkering really hurt the Wallabies under Michael Checker. We saw the former Wallabies coach. He really, I think, thought that this will build the competitiveness, maybe the squad mentality, that whatever 23 we put out there and whatever starting 15, it will help us to have that competitive rivalry. Really, what I think it did was build insecurities right throughout the squad and a lack of cohesion. We didn't see that in the 2015 year where he stuck to his guns with the exception of one terrible selection in the second Bledisloe where they won in Sydney and then decided to mix things up the next match at Eden Park. We know the result. We don't need to go down that history. But, yeah, the conviction, the Taniela Tupou selection, 77 minutes, this is a front row forward. You know, usually these guys in the modern age are replaced after 40, 50 minutes. That's what South Africa do, and they continually do with their bomb squad of replacements that generally come on and change the course of the game. Taniela's been doing this for years. And I recall in 2018, I think it was, the Reds played the Hurricanes across the ditch at Wellington, and Taniela made this charging run down the left-hand side touchline, bumped away two or three defenders, and then passed back on the inside to Jordan Bataille, who was playing his second or third Super Rugby match and scored. It was a stunning try. The Reds almost pushed the Hurricanes to an inch of victory. These guys have had it for a long time. This is something that Taniela does on the regular, and it's not just on training paddocks. But I think that the key moment that showed that the Wallabies have actually got their mojo back and a little bit of confidence and exactly the type of rugby that Dave Rennie wants to play was, in fact, the second try, where the Wallabies played on quickly and had a sweeping move down the left-hand side from right to left. And Pete Samu, the replacement loose forward, charges through, makes a 40-metre line break. Really, he goes to ground. Quick recycle, and Tate McDermott finds Marika Korobidi, who scores untouched. And that, to me, showed what the Wallabies are wanting to do. They tried to do it against the All Blacks, but they couldn't. Maybe it was the fact that they were playing for the first time in a long while against a side that's got better skill levels. But that's exactly where Dave Rennie wants to take the Wallabies. And I think it could be the catalyst this match leading into two against Argentina. You play Japan. This is an opportunity to win not just two or three on the bounce, but potentially five leading into a spring tour.
And Rennie knows the importance of the Wallabies in Australia. Obviously, in world rugby, it's the same. But in Australian rugby in particular, Christy, the Wallabies have got to be performing well for the game to keep rising up. And he knows the importance of that. And that's why I thought it was interesting. And to your point about now getting a run on, because the possibility is there. That's why I thought it was interesting where he said, you know, we want Australia to support us. We know that it's been tough, but we want you to come on this and be part of it. If he can string together another couple, well, you know, he's like the Pied Piper. They will follow.
Yeah, they certainly will. You know, fans struggle to get around Super Rugby teams. We've seen it, though, in the past where everyone jumps on the bandwagon. You know, of course, the Waratahs in 2014, 60,000 at the Olympic Stadium. Of course, the Reds in 2011. Where they had 50,000 at Suncorp. You know, people can support it, but it's a long, drawn-out season. The Wallabies winning is the biggest and quickest and most effective way of getting fan support, not just in Australia, but all over. Like, I'm sure you always talk about the text messages that you receive throughout the night. I think you would have probably got more messages on Saturday, perhaps from league players or fans going, hang on a moment, the Wallabies are playing with some skill. It was the first time that I recall that passes with, you know, stuck and tries and opportunities were taken. And that was a really pleasing thing. But, you know, as Dave Vessels, and I made reference in it in the column today, as Dave Vessels, the former Rebels coach, has spoken about for the last couple of years, you're never quite as good as what you think you are and never quite as bad as what people some say about you. And that's where I think the Wallabies have been and really where they still are. You know, one or two wins against South Africa, great, but you've really got to be able to build on it. So trust to be embedded back into the Australian community.
It's a great article this morning. Check it out on foxsports.com.au. Wimps to World Beaters, how the Wallabies busted rugby's ultimate myth in 14 days. And we've got some more silverware as well. So the update on Tom Banks is not good. Fractured arm. Do you see James O'Connor coming back into the squad ahead of Argentina?
Yeah, I certainly see him coming back into the squad. I don't think he'll come back into the starting side. I think Dave Rennie will probably reward Rhys Hodge just for his ability to cover positions, to go, well, here you go, here's an opportunity to have some starts. It would be pretty dispiriting for a bloke who craves a starting jersey to once again get told, sorry, mate, you might be the perfect utility, but you're not going to start in my side. I think given that James O'Connor hasn't played since the 28th of May in a match, I think it's most likely that O'Connor will fill a utility role off the bench. The Braves call, the call that I would like to see at some stage is Jordan Bataille play fullback, potentially even Andrew Kellaway, who has just this brilliant ability to make the difficult look easy. And his skill level is something in a back line, a Wallabies back line, you haven't seen for some time. So, you know, there's a couple of options there, but I don't think O'Connor starts in the number 15 jersey this weekend.
And bizarrely enough, we're now ranked number 3 in world rugby. That happened quickly.
Yeah, overnight. We were only 7th a couple of weeks ago. So it probably shows you about the competitiveness of international rugby. But I think it was one of the Australian assistant coaches over the weekend, or even Tim Horan, in fact, actually, who said, you know, we were never number 7 in the world. But when you're playing 3 straight matches against the All Blacks, that tells you something. But there's some really difficult assignments to come, because England, Scotland and Wales later this year in November are going to be supremely difficult. And Scotland particularly is a bit of a rising force, with two of the British and Irish Lions assistants at Scotland, including Gregor Townsend and Steve Tandy, who was, of course, the Waratahs defence coach and made a really telling impact in the space of a year before being picked up in Scotland. So Some big matches ahead, and you could quickly drop from 3 to 5 or 6 later this year.
Yeah, good on you, Christy. This rugby championship is fascinating. I urge my listeners to jump onto your website and check out the article this morning. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Matt. Cheers.
Christy Doran there. foxsports.com.au is where you'll find all of his fine work. So a 30-17 victory over the Springboks, back-to-back wins. The All Blacks defeated Argentina 36-13. So this coming Saturday up in Townsville, it's another doubleheader. And the All Blacks and Box go first, and then we've got Argentina. So that'll be at 8:05. And Christy's right. I mean, there could be a bit of a run on here, and you don't want to get ahead of yourself in Australian rugby at any stage, but certainly it felt like there was a corner turned. Now, they're not the All Blacks, but they are the world champions, and it's always tough against the Springboks. So 2 out of 2 against South Africa. Now they've got Argentina and then Japan. I mean, if you can get a run like that, we haven't seen it for such a long time. I'm sure Australian rugby fans will be very, very happy. 0457 736 736. Now, we've hit a bit of a nerve here in regards to the press conferences and what you would like to hear and what you would like to see. So I'll get to some of those. But if you've got any thoughts as a fan's perspective on what you see evolve after the game. Now, some coaches are playing a very, very particular game, and they're doing it for very obvious reasons. They're protecting their team. Wayne Bennett is the master at taking the focus away from, say, a poor performance or any performance from his players and just directing the narrative his way. But from a fan's perspective, you're the fans. You're the people that love the game. What do you want to hear and what do you want to see from those press conferences? Does it bother you at all? Or are you happy with what you're getting? And what's the best way to improve it if there is improvement to be made? This is where you can have your say. Mornings with Matt White on 1170 SEN.